heading into the new heaven, but we're going to hang out here. I promise you that when that time comes, we're not going to want out to hang out and ponder whether what we're going to look forward to. We're going to jump right on in here. We're going to go into the new heaven. So let's open with a word of prayer and we'll get started. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word that you've given to us that we can study, reveal your plan for history for us as believers in you. We pray that we can learn and be prepared for what you have in store for us, the good things that are to come, and the trials that we have to look forward to. We ask that you guide and direct our study. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One thing I said last week, and I got to thinking, I don't know if I confused anybody, but I was talking about Mark Cahill's book, One Thing You Cannot Do in Heaven, and that is to evangelize. And I can't remember where I put that in or where I thought about that, but that is only for the new heaven, our final place. And it's not for the millennial kingdom. So I want to make sure that that's clear, because in the millennial kingdom, there's going to be work for us to do, as I see it. But one of the things that we will be doing is assisting in the judging, probably not for the first 9 months of entering into the millennial kingdom, but for those mortals that enter in, we'll be reproducing, and those people have the opportunity to reject or accept our Lord and Savior. So there will be work for believers to do in glorified body. We'll come back in as we try to reconcile everything, put everything together. So in the millennial kingdom is still on earth. Okay? So hopefully there's nothing else that I might have let loose as that might have been confusing or appeared to be. Yeah, did you have? Oh, okay. I got a nod from my wife. I thought, uh-oh, what did I say wrong here? So anyway, just want to make sure we're on that page at this time. Now, before we jump into chapter 21 and 22 of Revelation, we kind of want to go back and kind of look at where we've been, answer some questions, or ask some questions maybe. Maybe we'll get the answers. But just to look at our world history, we've been promised, as I see it, three disasters that wiped out this planet. One has taken place so far, and of course we know that's the flood. There are people that deny that could not be a world flood. I mean, how did that happen? Come on. God said it. It happened. Our Lord referenced to it in the Olivet Discourse that we're going to get to eventually. He makes that reference. So it is true that the flood happened. That's the first one. We had a promise that it will never be destroyed by a flood again. The second and third one, some theologians think that it's the same thing, and that's when Christ returns. But out of the Tim LaHaye and Tommy Ice book, they point out that there are two more that will come. One will be at the end of the tribulation. The world will be really messed up and has to be put back together. Messed up is my word, it's non-biblical. But at the end of the tribulation, with all of the judgments coming down, the earth is going to be really, let's say, I'm not going to say destroyed, but it's going to be affected tremendously. And then the second one would be at the end of the millennial reign. Okay, that's when Satan is loosed for that final rebellion, and Satan, his angels, and all of those who followed him throughout history, and all of those who believed the lie from the millennial kingdom will be captured, taken, and thrown into the lake of fire for eternity. Their thesis is that those are two separate events. that will come up. And now let's stop and take a look at that, their position here. I want to just point that out as if, and let's look first to Isaiah. The day of the Lord is mentioned in, and we'll come to 2 Peter 3, but Isaiah 65 and 17 to 20, and their position is these references are a different event from Revelation 21:1, which we're right about ready to look at here. So if we have someone, 65, chapter 65, 17 through 20, and you're gonna look at the last thing that said in verse 20, but let's look at 65, 17 through 20. This is the glorious new creation. And do I have a volunteer? Delbert. Okay, that last sentence refers to death. Now, once we get to the eternal heaven, there will be no more death. So that is, I think that is their position as to why that cataclysmic event that of kind of a destruction of the earth is referred to the end of the tribulation preparing for the millennial kingdom. Now let's go back and look at 2 Peter 3, 4. We're gonna look at 2 Peter 3. Now the first one is just, first few sentences is just being mindful of what's happened here. We're gonna pick it up in kind of a mid-sentence when we get to verse 3. So let's look at verse 3 through 6 to start with. And I'll take a volunteer for that. If somebody has 2 Peter 3, 3 through 6, let's kind of dissect this. Jim. All right, so at the end times, we're going to have people, scoffers, that are going to say, where is this resurrection? Where is this this rapture thing here? It hasn't happened, has it? And which is kind of, I first thought of this, and then I heard someone preaching about this, and I'm glad I'm on the same wavelength. I looked at that, and I said, well, that's about like saying, I guess I've never died yet, so I probably never will, right? Wrong. But we'll have scoffers coming in these end days, and they're going to say, they're going to make fun of anybody that's talking about the end days. Do you think Noah had anybody making fun of him building an ark when there'd never been any rain on the earth? And I don't think there was there water? I don't think water was, there was waters of the deep, but I don't think we had the ocean at that time. I'm not sure, I wasn't there. It may look like it, but I wasn't there. But we never didn't have any rain at that time. Do you think he had some scoffers? Well, we're going to see that too, but I think what's the last thing in a person's mind right before they drown of, why didn't I pay attention? If they get it to the point of drowning, we all see the force of water. When I was, I might have been a freshman at K-State, we had huge rains and they had to open up the floodgates at Tuttle Creek, and we went out and watched the water come up. And this is just from the floodgates, if you've seen those just from our lakes here. That's quite a powerful force there. You didn't really want to get caught up in that water. So just in case they even made it to the point of drowning, they may have been crushed. But what's the last thing that would have gone through their mind? I wish I would have paid attention. I mean, or were they going to say, well, let's just curse God and die, like Job's wife told him? Again, I maintain that's the dumbest advice anybody could give anybody, is just curse God and die whenever anybody's going through the a trial here. So, since the fathers fell asleep, the things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. So those are the scoffers. So let's look again, then continue on with 7 through 9 here. John. I see the long suffering, and I look at my own life, and I sure thank God that He was long suffering with my life, since I didn't really become a believer until I was about 30. I'm not sure young people have that time frame in front of them at this point. So, I praise Him for being patient towards me, and I hope you feel the same way towards you. Yourself, to the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. We just happen to be talking about the millennial kingdom. I'm not sure that that means the 1,000 years of the millennial kingdom. It could. I've looked at that as in God's time, there is no time. It's a concept that none of us can even identify with. We can identify, although I'm going to guess none of us have been in space in a weightless environment, we can sure see pictures, we can sure see the videos of those that are. We have some kind of a concept of what that physical law is all about. But living in a world without time, it doesn't resonate with me. I don't know if anybody else can have a better explanation. I've looked at that as in that one. Now, I've actually had some people say, well, regarding the six-day creation period, couldn't this be a day is like 1,000 years? Of course, forgetting that, and 1,000 years is as a day, but just pick that one out. It's completely out of context. And I've looked back at them and said, okay, let's say that it's a 6,000-year creation period. Again, it's completely out of context. 6,000 years is short of 1,000,000 by about 1,000,000. And they drop that argument there. So, but I think that this is more in line. It sure looks like it could be similar to the 1,000-year reign, but I don't know that anybody can actually prove that. So, any comments? John.
It would seem to me like the context is the Lord's long suffering.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Paul is that.
It's right in context with that. So. Mm-hmm. It's his timing.
His eyes, because he's...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Good point. Any other comments on that? Before we move on to 10 through 14.
By the way.
Yes. Oh, okay, yeah.
But I found out there are other places, especially in Decalogue and Exodus 20, that really reduce that.
Yeah. That's the way I approach everything that I study here. I challenge myself and my thinking, because if we're after the truth, we have to be prepared to be kind of readjusting until we get to the truth. So, although we hate to admit it, and I'm mostly German, I really hate to admit that when I'm wrong. That's just a nationality trend there, but... Oh, you don't think it's specific to being a German? Okay, I'm German. Pardon me. Totally. Okay. Okay. I'm just part breed here, so I'm not a full bred German. So that explains it then. Okay. I like ethnic humor when I can point fun at myself. So okay. Where was I before I got sidetracked? I'm going to blame that one on John. Okay. No, we're going to look at, I look at this as if, what am I, challenging my thoughts and my understanding. Some of these things that we're bringing forward are really coming from Tim LaHaye and Tommy Ice, coming from Ed Heinsohn and Tommy Ice. I have a couple more books. One was Ron Rhodes, and another one, forgot his name here, but I've got it with me. I always carry one when I come up here because I, Pastor Joe. Yeah, and you just read that. Just as you were reading that, why would they be scoffing in that verse 3? Because they're walking in their own lusts. Okay, that explains why they're scoffing, because they're walking in their own lusts. So as we approach this in Ottawa, at that's a nice little Smoke Creation is the name of the barbecue place, but just north of that is a little building, a little church building, and it's called the End Time Ecclesia. And I don't know if there's a whole church that's built on that. I think that should be what every church kind of has as part of their doctrinal statement, because the Bible, I've said this before, because it's been said to me, everything in the Bible points to this end time. So as we study, what's the purpose of studying? Not just to be living nice lives here on earth. This is not a Joel Osteen, your best life now. If this was your best life now, all you have to look forward to is the lake of fire, if it truly is your best life now. So all of our church, that should be a part of our church, that we look towards that. But we also have relationships that we deal with. We also have part of the work that we do is to be to evangelize. And I know I fall extremely short in that. But anyway, that's I just threw that out as I was thinking about that. Another thing, oh, by the way, had you noticed this last week? Brandon House had this on the five red heifers that... And a film of them, that were actually in Ben Gurion Airport in Tel Aviv. So they've been delivered from Texas. And the interesting thing how God works together is that in Texas, I think, and it may be every place for the cattlemen here, they're supposed to be tagged. Their ear's supposed to be tagged. But if you had an ear tagged, that would be a blemish. And it would not be available to be served, offered up as a sacrifice on the temple that is to be installed. So blame that on the COVID or the COVID pandemic, and that the cattlemen in Texas did not have to put the tags on it. So you had five. At this point, they're about 8 months old, and it, I guess in Numbers is our book of the Bible that talks about it's supposed to be a 2 years and 1 day. And so they will be observing these red heifers, because if there's so many white hairs that show up, not good enough. More than two. Yeah. So things are kind of happening here. This is moving in that. Now, I do have to, on a humorous note, Dr. Lindstedt's website, if you've looked at that, made a note of this. And his webmaster must not know the difference between a heifer and a steer. But my wife was telling me all about this, and she's a cattleman's daughter. And she says, unfortunately, the picture of that red heifer is a red steer. And it has an ear tag on it, too. So, and even a cattleman's daughter's husband could tell the difference between a heifer and a steer. I can tell you that here. So, a little humorous note here, but that just goes to show you, no matter how smart a person is, and Dr. Rob Lindstedt is an extremely intelligent man, mechanical engineer with a PhD in engineering, but somehow that got through. And very intelligent. So it can happen to anybody. I can even make mistakes. I'm glad you're all sitting down here. So, all right. Now let's move on. Where were we? We're on verse 10. We're still in 2 Peter here. We're kind of going pretty slow here. But 10 through 13, I think we want. No, let's do 14 also. 10 through 14. We have a volunteer here. Delbert is going to do that again. Here, sure.
The day of the Lord will come, and the heavens will pass away, great noise, and the will melt from the earth, and the earth that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved,
okay. Well, I guess it goes on here talking about the long suffering of our Lord and salvation. But we have our true picture of the true global warming right in front of us right there. And but we are to look forward to this. This is not anything to be afraid of. It's going to happen. So that comes to the question which was posed right here. What manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? My question is, what is our response supposed to be as we see these things happening leading up to what we have. Last Sunday, I asked if there'd be any, I'd be curious of any questions, or any, not questions, any, your understanding of what we should be doing as we proceed to this. Well, I can tell you that one thing that we should not do is sit back, go on the rooftop and wait. We have work to do. This could happen today. It could happen 10 years from now. Possibly 50 to 100. Hard for me to see, but I'm not God, never will be God. I will always be not God, okay? This is God's timing. So, and his timing is perfect, so everything he does will be perfect. So, just a question on, before we do a turbocharged jet tour of where we've been, any comments on this so far? Are you ready for me to go through a turbocharged?
My son goes in First Peter 2:15-16, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, as it is written, be holy, for I am holy.
So that's one thing that we need to be. Our job description, yeah, at this point is be holy as he is holy. Well, we can't be perfect like him, but we can certainly use him as a pattern to pursue his holiness at this time because we still have that sin nature in us. So, yeah, so that's a very good, the first one is to be holy as God is holy. Strong and courageous. Be courageous. And we're going to see that word courageous show up here in Revelation 21, just to give you a spoiler alert. So strong and courageous. Be holy, strong and courageous. Any others? John has one. Since Christ. That's right. But the thing is, we don't want to live like this. You know, our response to the scoffers are, it hasn't happened, but it will. If God says something is going to happen through his prophets, and the reference is made to this end time over 300 times, different places in our Bible. I didn't count them all. I'm taking that from Ed Heinsohn and Tommy Ice. Okay, I didn't count them all. Just to let everybody know here, I didn't do all of that work here. So yes, Jim.
Earlier in that, I think verse 3 or something there, it talks about that they are willingly ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
That means ignorant on purpose.
Yeah.
That means desire to be ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
Yet at the same time, I think that there's a God that is totally
Mm-hmm.
A lot of evolutions, it's like, you know, I can see what you guys are, mm-hmm. got a good case, you do. They are willingly ignorant.
Because they pursue their lusts. Mm-hmm. Well, the Star Wars, the theology of Star Wars, huh? On purpose. And is, yeah, John. Yet he rejected it, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Willing. I got into a discussion with, if you know Usama Dakdok, and he was talking. He's out. He's got a ministry. You can hear him on VCY about he's trying to reach those that have joined the false Islam faith, Muslims. And he was saying, Americans in this country, they're too stupid to understand this. And I said, Usama, if you say it that way, you're not going to have anybody listen to you. What they are ignorant of what's going on. And he started saying, but if they remain ignorant, then they're stupid. I said, yes, I know, but what they are, they just don't know. And that's what you're trying to do is to teach them. And next time I heard him on the radio, he was talking about Americans being ignorant. So, okay. So anyway, there's the difference of being ignorant and willful ignorance, who he still maintained, and I agree with him. If you willfully maintain your ignorance, you're stupid. Okay? You have that level of stupidity about a person. I didn't look at Jim. I'm looking at my imaginary friend over here, straw man. He would be willfully ignorant, and which would make him stupid. So, okay. Any other comments on that? Yes. I think that's probably your best bet right there, and ask questions for them to ponder. But I'm not an expert in evangelizing. I wish I could be. I should do a lot better. But my approach would be to ask questions. Well, you know, when it comes down to evolution, you'll eventually get to the question that they can't answer. Well, where did that amoeba come from? Where did that single cell come from? What? And I think I heard, who was the one that says billions and billions of years? I think he was on tape as saying, well, perhaps it came from outer space. And we should all be laughing. Yeah, that little chuckle right there, that we should all be laughing at that, okay? And this guy is supposed to, was that Doc? No. What was that guy? Anyway, Carl Sagan, that's right. He now knows the truth. unfortunately for him. But he said, perhaps from out, they came from outer space. Well, I know the truth, and I've had some person that says, his wife agrees with me, but he can't see. Come on, everybody should see. Well, nobody was there. I said, well, God was. And he gave the words to Moses to write down. So who did they have? Well, they had the fossil record. Well, if God created an adult, a mature man, and then a mature woman, couldn't he have created a mature universe that looks like it had been 40 billion years old? So, yes. We don't know, yeah. Did you hear that over here? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, plant the seed. Guess don't give up. You know, there are people that God has given up on, haven't, and turned them over to their own reprobate minds. But that's not for us to do, is it? We're not instructed to say. I mean, I look at the prophet Jonah, who was in the northern from Galilee area, was told to go to Nineveh, which is not part of Israel, and preach the gospel. He didn't want to. He wanted those people to perish. But he finally did. God did the work, didn't he? But he preached. So that's our answer for all of us, and really it's a challenge for all of us too. So, question. Yes, John.
Pastor alluded to that very strongly, I think. Well, a couple of things. We don't know.
Right. Yeah, you can win the argument and lose the person type concept there. Yeah, but evangelizing not just the lost, we have our own families, don't we, that we want to make sure that our families are prepared on this. Just ask the questions. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that the people that I talk to are just as stubborn as I am, and I don't want to say I agree with you just because you told me so. I want to come to that conclusion on my own, don't I? Yeah. So, yes. Think about that. Exactly. Yes. It's not that I haven't died yet, so I guess I never will, right? Not too much thinking there. But yeah, good point. There's only two places that a person is going to be. One is the eternal heaven. Now, we have some steps that I'm going to go through on our jet tour, our turbocharged jet tour. And the other one is the eternal lake of fire. Right now, when someone dies separate from God, my understanding here is that they go into a place, in Old Testament time they called it Sheol, now we call it Hades or hell, but that's really just a holding place until the great white throne judgment at the end of the millennial kingdom, when they, along with Satan and his fallen angels, will join who? We had two people, the Antichrist and the false prophet, are already there at that time, because they've been thrown there at the end of the tribulation. Okay? So that's where they have, that's what they have to look forward. So definitely, this is their best life now, if that's the path that they are choosing. Right. And that time will be at the end of the millennial kingdom, the final judgment. You will either be written in the book of life or you will not be. So, okay, very important there. Boy, I don't think I can, yes. So Mike Gendron, if you're not familiar with him, is a former Catholic. I think he's an aeronautical engineer with NASA at one time. He's not a stupid person. Let's just put it that way. And I think he has family members that are pretty high up in the Catholic Church. And he actually sat down and was reading the Bible. And to hear him talk, he's not a dynamic speaker, but the one that I remember, he walked into the confession booth. Said, Father, I know I haven't done confession for a long time. And from the other side, well, I don't know, however they say that. The reference came, he said, well, what's the matter? Why haven't you? He says, well, I read the Bible and it's not what the Catholic Church teaches. And he conversed for a little while and he said, on the other side, the person said, our time is up. So, you may go into his, okay. So he is not afraid to confront Catholics because he knows that, and I've got a lot of Catholic friends, and I am torn on what to do because if they pray to Mary, they're not praying to God. Mary is not God. And I mean, just one of the things, but this, to let Mike Gendron speak, is probably the best way to answer any of their questions. Yeah. So, all right, we are out of time. I cannot get through my turbocharged jet tour here yet, but so we will put that as first thing next Sunday. On the to-do list, and you know, unless there's any other comments on how are we to respond as we see this, I think those are be holy, be courageous, evangelize, don't give up on people. That's God's job. That's Holy Spirit's job is to do the convicting, and eventually God will turn a person over to themselves. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can study your word, that we can, that you can lead us and lead our discussion, lead our thoughts and to get that true understanding of what you have in store for us. We ask that you guide and direct us this day and guide us through this service to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.